Now, what Nicodemus didn't do here, he did not distinguish between biological birth and spiritual birth. He did not distinguish between the bios life and the zoe life. He did not and could not see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And the majority of our world lives in this state right now. They cannot differentiate or see the difference between the flesh and the spirit.
Welcome back to Live in the Light, friends. Hey, we're continuing along in our series on the Holy Spirit, and today takes us perhaps to the most familiar passage in all of Scripture, John chapter 3. In this text, Jesus meets a man by the name of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and what we'll see today is not only does Jesus have a word for him, but there's also some amazing truths in there for us today, particularly on the Spirit of God and his role in changing hearts. Pastor Robbie explains more with today's teaching from John chapter 3 and a message entitled, The Holy Spirit and Regeneration.
The power of Holy Spirit regeneration, I receive spiritual life. So I'm given spiritual sight, but now I receive spiritual life. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, the response of Nicodemus here is almost comical. In fact, it is a little bit comical. He's suggesting, well, then should a man re-enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? Now, what Nicodemus didn't do here, he did not distinguish between biological birth and spiritual birth. He did not distinguish between the bios life and the zoe life. He did not and could not see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And the majority of our world lives in this state right now. They cannot differentiate or see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. So many in this world are absolutely obsessed with temporal flesh while they remain completely oblivious to the eternal soul. Notice how much this conversation means to Jesus. He pulls out another, truly, truly, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you. He's saying, Nicodemus, listen, you gotta hear me. Nicodemus, you must listen to me. Nicodemus, you must understand this truth. You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus, when he said these words, he knew very well this would become the word of God. He knows all things. He knew very well the Holy Spirit write this down through the Apostle John. He knew that for centuries after he said this, literally billions and billions of people would also hear this phrase, truly, truly, I say to you. He knew, Jesus knew when he said it at that exact moment that at this time, in this year, in this land, in this town, in this room, in your aisle, in your seat, he knew precisely this verse would be said over your life and mine. Truly, truly, I say to you. So again, he says it to Nicodemus, but man, he says it to us. He means what he's saying. Notice in verse 5, Jesus states a necessary condition. Again, he says unless. So again, whatever follows, what Jesus is about to say here is an absolute. There are no exceptions to this. What's the absolute here? Verse 5. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know, some people accuse like the word of God of being unclear. Some people, it's amazing the words that people focus on what Jesus said and the words that they ignore what he said. How clear is this? How clear? Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what is water and spirit? Water and spirit is not a contrast between physical birth and spiritual birth. Rather, Jesus here is symbolically referring to the Old Testament imagery of spiritual renewal. If you want to be blessed here, check out Ezekiel chapter 36 and notice the themes carried on from this passage to what Jesus says in John 3, verse 5. Now, in verse 24 of this text, what God is saying, he's prophesying, he will gather the nations, he will gather his people, and notice what he promises to do. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from your idols. So we see the water, unless one is born of water. And Jesus says in John 3, and the Spirit, and I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will put within you, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. It is very safe to assume that when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in verse 5, he is thinking of this text. The prophecy here, the cleansing, the purifying of water, and then the promise of a new heart. How? By the Holy Spirit of God that would enter into his people to remove a heart of stone that is dead and give them a heart of flesh which is alive. Ezekiel 36 is really regeneration in the Old Testament. It is wonderful. It is beautiful. It is so powerful. But let's be crystal clear what we're learning here today. Okay, ready? 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 What are we learning here when Jesus says, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you're born from above, unless you are regenerated, let's be crystal clear. What Jesus is teaching us, ready, ready, ready? It's this. No one is born a Christian. No one has ever been born into this world a Christian because everyone has been born with sin. No one is born saved. So I like to ask people often, talking to them, hey, share your testimony. How long have you known Jesus Christ? When did you get saved? When did regeneration occur? When did you go from death to life? I don't expect you to tell me the exact moment. Some people can, but I'm not looking for that. But when's the season in your life? Because you have to know there's been a difference. There has to be a time. And I understand children can kind of go from one place and gradually, but there has to be a part of your life where I was dead, but now I'm alive. It's just the theology behind it. When I'm talking to people, hey, when were you saved? I get a little nervous when people say, well, I've been a Christian my whole life. No, you haven't. That's impossible. I've always been a Christian. I'm not trying to offend anyone here right now either. I'm not trying to isolate anyone at all. But I'm just saying, when I hear those things, I just have to gently in those conversations try to say, well, actually, what you just said is I've been a Christian my whole life. That's theologically impossible. You can't be born a Christian. At some point you were dead, and at some point you are alive. Because only the Holy Spirit can give regeneration. If you're here right now in love, as pastor who loves you, who wants to tell you truth, just as Jesus do it right now, if you walked in this place and you've had the thought that I've been a Christian my whole life, you should take stock and really, really think about what does that mean for my spiritual state? The Bible tells us to examine our lives to see whether or not we are in the faith. I'm not asking you to doubt as much as I'm asking you to question. If you think you've always been there, the reality is that's not true. So what is true then? This is what Jesus wants us to see. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Look now at verse 6. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, you see? And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So what are we learning here? We're learning that flesh can only produce flesh. The Spirit of God can produce spiritual life. I need to say it again. Flesh can only give birth to flesh. That's why any system of teaching, Christendom, church, religion that teaches, like let's say, for example, that a child is saved through baptism, that's a work of the flesh, ultimately. That's something we do. The flesh can only give birth to the flesh. The flesh cannot produce eternal life. John 6, verse 63 on the screen here, Jesus says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. The flesh is of no avail. Only the Spirit of God can give life. By the way, that's our theme for our youth ministry. How awesome is that, eh? Go Pastor Carl and all his leaders. Love it. Love it. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all because the flesh only gives birth to flesh, but it's the Spirit who gives life to the Spirit. That's exactly why Jesus says what he says in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. But you know what? Nicodemus would marvel. He would marvel because he can't believe that as an ethnic Jew that he wasn't already saved. But this is why this is such a fundamental passage on the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, notice he says here, unequivocally, so clear, boldly, you must be born again. The word must in the Greek carries tremendous force. Impact behind what Jesus is saying. He's not mincing words. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because this is where eternal life is truly found. Kids who are here today, you have to understand, your parents cannot save you. Parents, you must understand, you cannot save your kids. Be very, very careful in the desire for parents to want their kids to walk with Christ. At times, they convince themselves and their children that they are saved by telling them over and over again and trying to convince them that they are Christians, when in reality, they might be just as dead as anyone without Christ ever. Be very careful. Be honest with yourself. You could sentence your child to incredible deception because of your own pride and need to feel better about yourself and the state of your children by pronouncing them saved when they are not. That is a dangerous game to play. God is the one who saves, not you or I. You long for the salvation. Of course you do. You pray for that. Of course you do. At the end of the day, one of the biggest points of freedom and power is to understand you are not God. He is. And you beg him to regenerate, because when they do undergo the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, then you will sit back in awe and wonder, and all the fruit you ever wanted to see will be plain before your eyes, and you will weep. You will weep in awe and wonder and glory of God as he has transformed your child, your spouse, your family, your loved one, your friend, as only he can. And when God does it, there's no reversal of the new life in Jesus Christ. Spouses, you cannot save your spouse, but God can. But God can. Jesus says, do not marvel. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. What I want to do right now is I want to do a little bit of systematic theology when it comes to the doctrine of regeneration. I want you to see just how much this theme is through the Bible, particularly through the New Testament. I pray it'll be a great encouragement to you as well, okay? So look at some of these verses. What does it mean for the power of Holy Spirit regeneration? Let's just define this in a few ways as we go through Scripture together. This is part of the emphasis, purpose of our series. This is the power of Holy Spirit regeneration. It's this. I'm a new creation. When regeneration comes, that means that by the Holy Spirit, I literally go from death to life. I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. By the way, what we're doing right now, this is a Bible study for joy. This is a Bible study for overcoming discouragement. This is available to you every day of your life, okay? We're just gonna go through the gospel right now. We're just going through the gospel. Lifts you from your trials. Set your eyes above the clouds of the day. Get through the fog that is around us right now. And to see the Son of Jesus Christ shining down upon you. This is available to you and I every single day. It's a matter of choosing to focus on what is true as opposed to what is false and lies. So enjoy this process. It's glorious. And I pray it'll encourage you greatly right now. It's simple, biblical math of the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Behold, the new has come. Regeneration means we are new creations. If we're new creations, we will never die. Last time I checked, that's pretty good news, amen? Okay, there'll be some more chances, all right? Just love when the church is fired up about the most important things ever. Hey, next slide, look at this, ready? The power of the Holy Spirit, regeneration means I'm a child of God, okay? Now listen. Now, I put some of my own notes in here just so you can see what's happening. I'm a child of God. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Okay, but notice how this happens. It happens when we're born again. When you're born again through regeneration, then you see and receive, believe and receive. This comes first. Who were born not of blood, okay, meaning, this is my notes here, not physical birth. Can't save yourself, the family you come from. not through the will of the flesh, so not ethnicity, ethnic descent, nor of the will of man, the Bible says, which means not by human effort. So you're not born again by anything of our doing. But notice it says, but you're born again of God. When regeneration comes, then I receive the right to be adopted into God's family. When regeneration occurs, adoption must follow. There's never a situation where regeneration is real and adoption doesn't follow. Regeneration, conversion, justification, adoption. Sometimes these can all happen in a millisecond. That's the mystery of it all. God does it. But you can't have one without the other. Regeneration means I'm a child of God. Amen? Regeneration means I'm saved. Titus 3. When the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, notice, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. Now, who's here for that verse right here, this phrase right here? I always want to point this out. Some of you have been under a system of religion your whole life. You have been taught, I get saved by what I do. That's not in the Bible. In fact, that is anti-Bible. Well, I earned my way into heaven. Nope, you don't, because you'll never do enough to be perfect. You say, where's that in the Bible? Right here. It's right here. Look it. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. We don't save ourselves, but according to his own mercy, God saves us. How? By the washing of regeneration. The one time this word occurs in scripture, actually, and of course in many other ways, born again, meaning the same thing, but in this technical form, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So regeneration means that I am saved. It's becoming a better day already, isn't it? I think so. I mean, how can it not be? Regeneration means I have a living hope. According to his great mercy, he has caused us, not us, he has caused us to be born again. There it is again. To be born again to a living hope. So when we're regenerated, we have a living hope. Notice, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's all Christ, from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Kept in heaven for you. How glorious is this truth? This is the gospel. You're regenerated. You're in Jesus Christ. You have been given inheritance when you were born again, an inheritance that cannot perish, that will not be defiled, that is completely unfading. It is reserved in heaven for you one day. So soon Jesus Christ returns, and all that he has promised is yours because by his mercy and grace, you've been regenerated and saved and converted and justified and being sanctified, and one day soon you'll be glorified. Well, the day's getting even better now. Love it. Love it. Regeneration means I'm indestructible. Sweet. Notice, since you have been born again, 1 Peter 1, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. See what happens here? When the Holy Spirit places a seed in an individual and decides this is going to explode into life, that seed will never be destroyed. I mean, you are here right now, saved in Jesus Christ. Literally, loved ones, you are indestructible. I mean, that's something to boast in. It's not you, it's him. They're like, I'm indestructible. It's true. I'm indestructible. Life is so hard. I'm indestructible. Life filled with tremendous trials. I'm indestructible. Filled with so much fear and worry. I'm indestructible. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I'm indestructible. So I do know what's going to happen in the future. Because the regeneration is seed planted in me, which is imperishable. Notice, through the living and abiding word of God, I am sanctified. This is key, okay, ready? Regeneration means this. Sanctified means I'm growing more like Christ. No one, notice, by the way, John in 1 John uses this phrase, born of God, probably like 10 times. You can look it up, it's a wonderful study. I circled each one in my Bible recently, love it so much. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Why? For God's seed abides in him. See, if God plants a seed, it's not going to go backwards. It has to produce fruit. You can't stop the process of regeneration. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning. Isn't that so interesting? So it doesn't mean we don't have hard days. It doesn't mean we don't have times of failure. What it means, though, if my life is identified with habitual sin, if I have indifference to sin, if I'm unrepentant, if I don't really care, if I don't have remorse, if I'm living my life with a tag on it of I go to church and I say some prayers, but the reality is my life is filled with sin, that's a very, very important time to take a spiritual time out and say, what am I really doing? Because the Bible says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Because when God causes somebody to be born again, they're going to be different. Every single time. He cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. How clear is God's word? How clear is God's word? That's why there was a powerful pastor, Pastor Roland Hill, a couple hundred years ago. He was a preacher and a guy came up to him on the street and he was totally drunk. And he came up to Pastor Roland and he says, I'm one of your converts. And Pastor Roland looked at him, he says, you might be one of my converts, but you're not one of God's. Clearly, as you are filled with drunkenness, you're a convert of man, not a convert of the Holy Spirit. He went on to say this too. He says, if you can be converted by man, you can also be unconverted by man. But when you are converted by God, you will never be the same again. Now, the life in Christ is like bouncing a yo-yo walking up the stairs. There are ups and there are downs, but at the end of the day, the trajectory over time will be more like Jesus Christ. Because when God makes someone born again by his imperishable seed, that person will be changing into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it seems slow, sometimes it seems rapid, but it will go in the direction that God has chosen. What God has started, he will complete. Philippians 1, verse 6. The power of Holy Spirit regeneration. I'm given spiritual sight. I receive spiritual life. And thirdly, this, I have to acknowledge though, that it's a spiritual mystery. I have to acknowledge that regeneration ultimately is a spiritual mystery. Look what Jesus says, verse 8. He says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. See what Jesus does here? He used the example of explaining Holy Spirit and regeneration with the illustration of the wind. Consider the mystery of the wind itself. You can feel it, but you can't see it. You notice its impact, but not its source. You can observe the wind happening, yet you don't know where it came from and where it's going. This is why weather forecasters are the punchline of many jokes, because they ultimately, with all the technology, they cannot figure out the wind. Notice you can't control the wind, and the wind carries a sovereignty with it. The wind blows where it wants to blow. So there's a mystery about the wind. You can't grasp it. You can't really fathom it. Yet the results of the wind are undeniable and so clear. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So it is with Holy Spirit regeneration. So what is Jesus teaching us? He's teaching us this. The regenerating action of the Holy Spirit is as sovereign as the wind. His action is deeply mysterious. We can't control the Holy Spirit, but we can observe him. Because notice in verse 8, Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound. So who knows? Maybe at that exact moment, Jesus and Nicodemus were talking, a gust of wind came upon them. Who knows? The wind blows where it wishes, but you hear its sound. Here's what we take from this. We don't understand Holy Spirit regeneration, but while we can see it, or at least we can hear it, and when it comes upon us, we can see its impact. It's a mystery, but it's marvelous. Because again, when the Holy Spirit comes to town, things are a-changing. When the Holy Spirit comes into a life, they receive a new heart, they become a new creation, and they receive a new life. Just think about in this room right now, think about in this room, the undeniable and in some ways unexplainable work of the Holy Spirit. Think of the transformation represented in this room of hundreds and hundreds of individuals that have gone from death to life, from darkness to light. A spiritual explosion has taken place, and the fruit is awesome. We can't fully explain it, but when it happens, we can point to it and say, look at the results of what the Holy Spirit has done again. So maybe you're here today, and maybe you've never been taught this before. Maybe you're not sure where you stand. I implore you, hear the words of Jesus where he says, you must be born again. Now, you can't produce this, but you can beg for it. And what does the Holy Spirit to bring regeneration upon people's lives? The Holy Spirit uses the word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the gospel. And the gospel has been proclaimed to you in probably a dozen different ways even today. But let me say it one more time. For every person who understands that they are a sinner in need of forgiveness of their sins, and they are sorrowful for their sins, and they know that Jesus Christ came to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for their sins, and to be raised from the dead by defeating death once and for all. For every person who looks upon Jesus Christ and believes that he died for them and they place their faith in him, those people will be saved. This is the gospel. This is what the Lord uses, the Holy Spirit uses to call people to repentance and faith. And the Holy Spirit moves in, regenerates, allows people to see and hear and then come to spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, John Newton, when he was on his deathbed and the amazing life he lived, he ultimately said, I am a great sinner, but I have a greater Savior. And that's the gospel. If you want to boil it down, Jesus died in my place. To the unbeliever here today, I implore you, beg God for life. Beg Jesus Christ for life. I don't know if I've ever seen someone sincerely desiring salvation and Jesus Christ be turned away. The Lord is in charge. But I'm just telling you, I've seen a lot of people turn God away in pride. But the broken, repentant life, wow. Do they find a spot in the heart of God? For the believers here today, for the believers, think of all you've heard today. Now is the time to once again thank the Lord that he has allowed you to be regenerated. Thank him for life. Thank him that you have breath. Thank him that you can sing his praises. Thank you that you can hear the word of God. Thank him that you can see the love of Jesus Christ. Thank him that you can feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank him that you are not dead. Thank him that you are alive. Thank him for all the things he has done for you, which you and I don't deserve. Thank him that he has covered every single sin that you and I will ever commit because of his grace, his mercy, and his love. Thank him for the peace you have. Thank him for eternal life. Thank him. What else there ultimately is there to thank him for? This is the power and the reality of why he did what he did, that we might worship him and give him glory. Every person in this room has the choice today to do that and then be filled with the joy of placing their worship in the only one who is worthy of it. One God and three persons. The application for this message is in every single life who can listen to this right now. So the choice is ours now. Do we respond in obedience? And do we let our voices raise with an extra sense of volume? Because there is no God like our God. And he has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to receive an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Loved ones, Christians are not just to be nice people. They are supposed to be new people.
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcast available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.